Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Putting Suggs, getting him off of Garland, and putting him on Donovan Mitchell. Watch how hard in the second half it was for Donovan Mitchell to get to his spots. And that's off the ball. Forget about on the ball. We know that Suggs and then having Isaac behind him can certainly steer you in a direction you want to direct an offensive player. But even him being able to get established where he wants to off the ball, Suggs is not allowing him to do that. And so I think that's something they have definitely had to work on the last few days, is being able to do that.
Before we set sail with this, and Jason Loy going to join us at 9:20. We will ask him a couple of draft questions, but the Browns had themselves a fine enough draft. I gave it a C. I mean, I'd probably give it a C any year. Doesn't matter, and I know that nobody cares about draft grades, but it makes it easier. So fine, good solid C, we move on. Nothing against it, nothing for it. Obviously, I like Mike Hall, and you know I like Zach Zinter, so we'll talk about it more with Jason coming up at 9:20. I don't want anybody to think we're dodging any questions or anything like that. And there will be something about Deshaun Watson in that comparison with the Houston Texans being brought up at 9:20 as well with Jason, as well as the Cavs. Okay, all that being pointed out, like, the conversation has twisted to another thought of the softness of the Cavs. And should we be calling them out for being soft? I don't think anybody's not calling them out for being soft. I think a lot of people feel the Cavs are soft. It's not about a question of being soft. It's that I've seen toughness and now I need it every single game. Abject toughness in the first couple of games of the series. Again, I thought last Thursday was going to be the ugliest game of the series because I thought the Cavs would win it, obviously. And I thought that they were going to have, though, some chippiness that would happen where it would be Orlando's last gasp to really take a stab at him in the series. And that game four would probably either be, I thought game four, they would just wouldn't care. Orlando. I thought it was going to be a sweep. You thought it was going to be a sweep.
Yeah.
That chippiness, it hasn't been chippy. It's just been good, strong, tough play by Orlando. And we just haven't answered. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for a Cavs fan. It's like, guys, you've seen it. You've seen the toughness. You've seen them go out there and assert themselves, announce their presence with authority, and then now they just refuse to do it again. And I think that's what's some of the most frustrating stuff to a Cavs fan.
Yeah. Mo Wagner should not be able to go at Evan Mobley the way that he has.
No.
That was one of the worst aspects of that last game, was Mo went at him a couple times and scored and taunted, let everybody know about it, and then Mobley tried to come back the other way, and he couldn't convert. And it's just like you're being emasculated right there in front of that crowd, and I'm to the point where I wonder if this Cavs team even believes right now that they can win this series. They're still favored. They're 4.5-point favorites tonight. Clearly Vegas tomorrow night, I keep saying that. Clearly Vegas thinks that this is just about the home team, and the home team in this series is going to win all the games. And I understand, because we've basically had four blowouts the way these games have gone. The home team has been able to deliver in a big way every single time. With that said, I mean, I'm a little worried about what the Cavs are going to look like tomorrow. Yeah. I wonder how shaken they are. I guarantee, you know, they'll say all the right things, and that fan base that will be there, they'll be fired up to start that game. They're going to be there. It's game five. They know now it's a best of three.
Yeah, but I'll tell
you what.
But
is that going to be enough to get them to the finish line?
Tone, that third quarter comes around, and we all get pensive, and if they start to do what they've done before, which is start to go south, like, they're going to boom. They're going to boom. They're going to be upset. Because I can't just sit there and say some of this is absolutely on JB Bickerstaff. He's the head coach of the team. But, man, I look at these players and I go, man, you could sit there and you could talk through Fedor all you want about telling JB Bickerstaff to run sets and do this and do that. I'm still looking at you going, what are you contributing here? Why are you going south on me here in the playoffs? Why are we doing this about Donovan Mitchell again for a third straight series? Like the last year with Utah, you know, I said what I said. Then when he came here, it was first series here. I wanted to blame a lot of other people. I didn't want to blame Donovan. Now we're in this third series. And how many did he have on Saturday? How many did Donovan contribute? Was it 10? It was 18 on Saturday.
18 first half.
Yeah, he started out with 18. He had nothing in the second.
And nothing in the second half. I mean, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
It just doesn't even make sense.
I know he might be hurt, but he's out there. And I need it all. Like, well, Donovan doesn't have any help. Yeah, he needs help. But I also need more from Donovan. I need more from all of them. Because this is not where we imagined we would be. I mean, I thought we'd be talking about Boston and getting ready for another series against Boston, whether or not we're apologizing to Altman, whether or not we're apologizing to JB. And this thing has taken a dramatic turn on the road. 216-474-0092. I mean, it's come down to, again, it feels like the fans in the heat of the moment want it worse than you do. Jeff and Avon Lake, you're first up on the Fan.
You know, Ken, I don't think you're going to need to be apologizing to anybody anytime soon, so you can scratch that off your to-do list.
Well, there you go.
I kind of want to take a bigger view. You know, I go back to 2 years ago when you know, they made the play-in games and they lost that. But that year was the most fun I'd had watching the Cavs basketball team. Kind of even with with some of the LeBron years, you know, aside from the championship, but just the way they played and the way everybody chipped in and the way the ball moved. And then, you know, fast forward, Donovan shows up, Kobe, you know, does what he thinks he needs to do and makes an all-in trade, clearly not knowing where the roster was and kind of probably a little bit too soon, maybe a year too soon, but whatever, you got a superstar. Donovan shows up, ball stops moving. Darius and Donovan can't really play together that well. It's even more apparent now without Markkanen stretching the floor that you're just, you know, Tower City was kind of a fun little thing for a little bit, a short period of time. You know, we all know that. Why does the ball stop moving? I'm not putting it on Donovan. Donovan's been great since he's been here. He said all the right things. He seems to care. He seems to be, you know, care about the city for the most part. I don't think he ever wanted to be here, obviously, like everybody else knows. But it just makes me wonder why. Like, why does the ball stop moving? Does everybody just assume that Donovan's going to carry the load and kind of take care of things and people aren't as engaged?
Jeff, I think they are deflated when they see Donovan, when they see their version of Superman struggling and a little wounded, which he's been now for a month. They don't see the same guy, and they are not able to step up. And what I don't get
is another part to it.
How is it that the Magic seem fine stepping up? They've had different guys, whether it's Isaac in the corner hitting those big threes and making some timely defensive plays. Suggs just running around the court, even if he doesn't have his shot down. That guy is finding a way to impact the game. I mean, Franz Wagner was horrific this year shooting the ball. He looks like he is as confident as anybody in this series right now.
Well, Tony, so why? Then why do they lose their chip, their edge, when they see their guy? Why not step up to pick him up? Well, so let's look at that.
Because I think a lot of it's fraudulent. I think a lot of it's blustery, tough talk, but I don't think it's real. I think they're very quick to make excuses. I think that their general manager / team president is very quick to make excuses for him. That's actually when they do talk. I think that they get their fingers into a lot of people to make excuses for him. I think they want to make everything so hunky-dory that they really don't see that these are grown men playing for the ultimate prize in the NBA, and I think it catches up with them.
The organizational softness is what really appalls me. And that's what made me want to call this morning, because I'm not a radio caller guy, but I needed to talk this out so I'm not, you know, squeezing my stress ball at work today, you know, annoyed with this. The organizational softness. Tanking that last game against Charlotte is something I can't overlook. I won't overlook. I don't care if we get by the series. Doesn't matter if we get by the series. I don't even care. This group, as we know it, as I know it, and when I mean group, I mean coach, front office, everybody, to tank that last game and then a week later get blown out by 40 points in a playoff game. A playoff game. How, you know, Jim Moore-esque, how can you show up and lose by 40 points in a playoff game?
Jeff, and this is where I think, and thank you very much for the call. Lima wanted people to apologize to Kobe Altman for that game. Now Lima's got to back away from it. You know, people wanted to make a big deal about it, and then it was like, well, we won these first couple of games by 15 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, we looked good. Yeah, it looked like the old Cavs.
And you start out the month of January. January, would you lose two games in the first month and a half of the new year? How good were they to start off that year? And they didn't have Donovan Mitchell at the time. They didn't have Evan Mobley at the time. You have injuries throughout the season. You still play well. But you also had these frustrating games where you do well against Dallas, and then we all, myself included, hey, whatever happens against Chicago is whatever happens against Chicago. Like, there was very little consistency. And I think that's why a lot of fans, they've taken their level of frustration to an obscene level, to it, and it's true. Because now I look at this team and I go, I don't know where to put them. I can't trust them. I can't sit there and be down in the mouth and dour about them all the time. I can't sit there and pump them up and say how great they are all the time. They never, ever pay it off. If I think they're going to do well, they consistently let me down. If I think they're going to do poorly, they consistently make me look like an angry fool. And because of that, you have no idea what their identity is. You have no idea where they're at. The only thing that I can say that has been founded over the last few years is that quote-unquote organizational softness. That's why we got people calling us up this morning saying, you know what, guys? Not only do I think they lose, I hope they lose. That's what fans are saying. That's the calls we've got today. And I'm not willing to go that far, and I don't think neither is Tone. But there are people who are saying it, and I can't say you guys are wrong, because I don't think if they were to beat Orlando and then go and lose to Boston, say they beat Orlando in seven games, I don't think that they'll bury their heads in the sand and say everything's fine. I don't believe it, but I can't say for sure. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking at this team, and they know that there's some problems here. Something stinks. And they're afraid that if they win this series that they set up on purpose, and that they go over there and they just get hammered by Boston or Miami, more than likely Boston, then they'll just run it back and everything is going to be fine and we'll be just as frustrated next year. I'd like to believe that that's not going to be true and that everybody needs to relax. I don't know if that's the case. Because, again, they talked about the team like it was a Montessori school last year. We won 51 games. We did this. We did that. You guys don't see the vision. You guys don't know about building a basketball team. We do. Well, I don't know. Where's Orlando at right now? Are they behind us in the rebuild? Yeah. You just mentioned Anthony Edwards twice today. Where's Minnesota in their rebuild compared to us? And what did they do to Phoenix? Wipe the floor with them? Yeah, that's what they did.
Oklahoma City
behind us in the rebuild.
All these teams have passed us.
And where are we at? Sitting here making excuses. And so that's why I can't sit there and rip on the fans calling in saying that they want this team to have a lesson learned over this series. I mean, I can't believe where we're at with it. 216-474-0092. We got Jason Lloyd joining us coming up next. I want to know from Jason, are the Cavs in real trouble or are we just upset? And is Donovan Mitchell playing hurt? If he is, how hurt is he? And what did he think of the Browns draft? Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work on that absolutely free Odyssey app. It's a 2-2 series. Everybody's mad at J.B. Bickerstaff. Mad at Donovan Mitchell. Boy, we've had some anti-Donovan Mitchell calls today, haven't we, Tone?
People are turning on Donovan, and this is kind of what happens, considering now people are thinking he's not going to be here, so... The trashing out the door, I believe it has commenced.
When I knew that Jason wasn't going to co-host with me, I trashed him out the door. And Jason Lloyd joins us right now. I'll trash him right to his face. Yeah, He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jason Lloyd from The Athletic. Hello.
That was a lifeless Browns read. You really need to get better at your reads.
I was just doing an invitation to you. That's what I was doing.
I put that one on the tee for you.
I like it when you like get away from the like the microphone. Like for whatever reason you can't finish the whole read, you're like, come on the free house.
I have to move on to other things.
They can't hear it. They can't hear it. So you gotta say the whole thing.
That's not my problem.
You know what is a problem? JB Bickerstaff and this basketball team right now. Jason Lloyd, holy Toledo, what's going on?
It's not great, but I have to backtrack for a second because I told you guys at the end of regular season, if they flame out in the first round again, this is on Donovan, and you guys said I was crazy. And look where we're at.
I didn't say you were crazy. I didn't say you were crazy.
You said they blamed JB.
No,
they let him off the hook for the knee. Yes, I got the evidence.
Whoa. I said the organization would blame JB. I didn't say you were crazy. I said I agreed with you that the fans would start calling in about Donovan
look
Mitchell.
At this.
Why would I lie? Why would I lie? Why would
you
I lie?
Said the fans here, the national media would blame Donovan, but
Anthony,
the fans here would let him off the hook.
I said it myself. No, I said it myself.
They'll blame JB.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't. On Donovan.
I did not.
All right. Well, Jason, you're saying that will be the narrative afterwards. Who do you think it's on? Your former colleague, Chris Fedor, we played audio earlier in the show of Chris saying he heard that players are sitting there bewildered as to how to create open looks.
He said they said it without saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know what he's talking. I was not in Orlando, right? Like Joe went for us. Varden went for us to Orlando. I was not there. I was home this weekend. So, I mean, I know what he's saying because I've heard that in locker rooms in the past. I'm not disputing that at all. And there's been frustration, I think, with JB at times throughout the year and past years. I don't think that's really a secret. But here's what I will say. In the two games in Orlando, the NBA tracks everything and all their data tracking shots. What's considered a wide-open shot in the NBA is when the nearest defender is 6 feet away or farther. Okay, so a wide-open shot, no defender within 6 feet. And a lot of these shots are threes. They were 3 of 19 on threes, on wide open threes in Orlando. So you can't blame the coach for not getting you wide open looks when you can't make the wide open looks that you have. And last year in the playoffs, we said shooting. They didn't have the pieces. They didn't have enough shooting. Well, they went out and addressed that. They thought they did with George Niang and Max Strus, and they like those were the shooters that they brought in, the pieces that were going to help them. And they are 4 of 28 in the series from three. George, and like, you know, we praised him, and it was the right move. Like, it was the right thing to do. And I know Lima didn't like the Strus signing for where they were at, for the money that they had, for what was available. I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. And Niang I really liked because last year on corner threes, he shot 52% on corner threes. 10th in the league. Stand in the corner, wait for the ball, make the corner three. He is 0 for 5 in this series on corner threes. So you look at the data, he's got the playoff experience, you know, both of those guys, playoff tested, tons of experience. You would think that they don't shrink in the moment, and then they come in and they can't buy a shot. Whose fault is that? I don't know. It's a make or miss league, and they're missing the shots. I don't put that on Kobe. Like, he did his job. He went out and he found shooters. I don't put it on JB. They've 3 of 19 on wide open threes, 16% in those two games. The shots just aren't going in. They got to go in. But ultimately, it has to go on Donovan because this is his team and he's the star. And I'm going to read you guys something that I found last night that is jarring. Like, this isn't the knee. His offensive rating, okay, so people that aren't familiar with some of the advanced stats in the NBA, offensive rating is very simple. Points per 100 possessions. It standardizes everything. It takes out usage rate. It takes out pace and all that. How many points are you scoring per 100 possessions? And the bubble, when he went crazy in 2020, he had an offensive rating of 122. The following year in Dallas, he had an offensive rating of 124. His last year in Utah, 107. Last year, 106. This year, 100. His last three postseasons, his offensive rating is 107, 106, and 100. That is horrendous. And that's on him.
Jason Lloyd with us on the hotline. Well, that's an uncomfortable reality as well because he is what this whole team is built on right now. Evan Mobley is not ready to be that guy. I haven't sold my Evan Mobley stock, although I understand if some faith in him has been shattered a little bit. What is this team without Donovan Mitchell?
A lot of times, teams just become reliant on their best player, and that becomes who they are. And when you're and when you play that way so often, when you take that piece out or when that piece isn't performing, it brings the whole thing down. It doesn't mean in another setting these same pieces would work better without him. I'm not saying they're a better team without Donovan. It's not what I'm saying. But you become used to habits, and you become used to playing a certain way, and you become used to that guy dominating the ball a certain amount of times. And then when that part isn't working, the rest of the engine is off. So I don't know that you can – I don't know that it's fair to say if you take Donovan out, the whole thing collapses. This year it does, yes. But if you give them an entire season to his best year – like, I know Darius has had a terrible year. Darius's best year is when he did not have another ball-dominant guard next to him. And they keep putting ball-dominant guards next to him. The year Colin was hurt is when Darius took off, had a monster year, got a monster contract, and then they put another ball-dominant guard next to him, and – they were fine the last year, and this year it's just cratered, whether it's the jaw.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Whether whatever it is, he's had the worst season, I think, of his career. So, but if you take the ball dominant guard away, does Darius's play go back up? I don't know. But certainly it did before when he didn't have someone else he had to share the ball. Evan certainly, I think Evan has had a good year. I maintain that. Evan has had a good year. But the missing component to his game is the three-point shot. And without that, he is a much different player. I think they thought by now it would be there. He would be a more offensively rounded player by now, and it just hasn't gotten there. Because the league has proven time and time and time and time again, you don't win championships with small guards as your lead player, and you don't win championships with two small guards in a backcourt together. You need Giannis, KD, LeBron, you need these big, strong wing four type players, Anthony Davis, those types of guys. Evan was supposed to be that guy, not saying he can't ever get there, but he hasn't gotten there yet. He hasn't gotten to that level yet, and I think it stunted the whole development of this thing.
Who's going to win the series?
I said Cavs in six before it started. I'll stick with Cavs in six. I certainly felt better going back to Orlando 2-0. I didn't really think much of Game 3. I know everyone probably lost their mind because they lost by 38 or whatever, but that tends to happen on the road when a team's fighting for its playoff life. JB pulled him in the third quarter, which I thought was a smart thing to do. You had an early game on Saturday. You had a 1 o'clock tip. It obviously wasn't going to work. Pull them off the floor, get them off their feet. But for it to happen again in Game 4 is embarrassing. Like, that should not have happened. If you lose, you lose the game. You should not get destroyed in the second half again, in the third quarter again, like you did in Game 3. You can excuse it once. You cannot excuse it twice.
Three games potentially left in this series. Cavs are favored tomorrow by 4.5 points. This is the team that they chose. This is the team that they were willing to risk getting booed on fan appreciation night to get there. If they lose, tell me really what's at stake without stating the obvious about JB. What is really at stake with the future of the Cavs here?
There'll be changes. Yeah, there's going to be changes. I think Donovan very likely gets traded. If they lose the first round, Donovan very likely gets traded. JB's probably out. there's going to be job loss for sure. Yeah, I don't think that's overstatement at all.
Would there be changes even if the Cavs win the series?
I mean, you got to see how the second round goes, but I don't think anything's off the table at this point. Well, I mean, if you beat Orlando, which, you know, when you're up 2-0, everyone in the organization thinks it's going to happen anyway. If you beat Orlando and then you get boat raced by Boston, what does that prove? You know, I don't know if you've really answered anything. When you're talking about is this team tough or not, you know, I said last week, go win a game at the Garden, and then we'll declare that you guys are mentally tough and road tough and all the rest of it and just tough in general. Right now, last 2 years, they're 0-4 on the road with an average margin of defeat of 22.5 points. They aren't just losing on the road. They are getting blown out. They're getting humiliated on the road. And until that change – and, like, Orlando is not an intimidating environment, right? Like, Orlando is not Madison Square Garden. It's not Boston Garden. So if you want people to believe that you are tough enough to do this and you can win in these – go win in Boston. Go win in the Garden. That is a big-time environment. You go win game one there, go win game two there, and we'll say that you guys have learned your lessons. Until then – I don't know. I don't know what they could do to make all this go away.
All right. Yeah, let's switch over to football now. The draft, obviously the Browns did not have the haul that the other teams in the division might have had. You didn't pick till number 54. What did you think of their strategy?
I like I really like my call in Zinter. I really like the Zinter pick, actually, because you got to get younger up front at the guard spots. And you know, we've talked about it before. Paying your guards $17 million is a luxury, and they're paying both of them, you know, $17, $18 million. And I know the cap is going up, but when you're paying your quarterback what you're paying your quarterback, I don't know that you can continue to pay the guards $18 million, plus they're getting older. And, you know, it kind of flies under the radar, and it doesn't really matter. But that Houston playoff game, had they won that game, and obviously, you know, that wasn't going to happen in the second half, but let's say alternative world, they win that playoff game, I don't think either one of those guys would have been available. I think Betonio and Wyatt both would have been out. Joel had the high ankle sprain, and Wyatt got beat up again with the calf. I think they would have been scrambling to find two new guards again in that second round. So really needed another guard. I think they're really high on Zinter and sort of a nasty streak that he's got what he can do. Obviously, Hall fits well into that rotation. It's defensive tackle and the pass rush skill is unique. And then beyond that, it's a crapshoot. Who knows? I don't even know how many roster spots they're going to have to carry rookies. I think some of these guys are probably looking at practice squads, which is a great position to be in because it used to be not that long ago. Every Browns draft pick made the roster. Mm-hmm. So it's a good situation to be in. I just don't know how many spots are available on this 53 for these guys.
Were you surprised that Greg Newsome was not traded and now it looks like they're going to be picking up the fifth-year option?
No. No, I wasn't surprised. If Cam Mitchell plays really well again this year, because he'll obviously have opportunities and he proves, you know, he can't really base it on 1 year, but if Bakken has another really strong year as a slot corner, I think you can have that conversation. But I always thought they would pick – I mean, they picked up Jed's fifth-year option. You're going to pick up Greg's. Plus, also – I'm really big on, like, loyalty to these guys, right? And Greg, you put him in a position he wasn't totally comfortable in, moving him to the slot, taking him away from what he's done his whole life and put him in a really uncomfortable position. The best way to reward that is by picking up that option. If it's an overpay for a slot corner, so be it. But it's a reward for a guy who's put in the work, who grumbled in the beginning about it, but ultimately has had a good attitude and had a fine year last year. Like, he got exposed a little bit on the outside, but in the slot, I think he's a terrific third corner. Not at all surprised they picked up the option.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I go, man, like, it's still a first-round pick by them. And I was asking people, would you trade a second-round pick for Greg Newsome? They're saying no. I'm going, well, why would they? Just because, hey, right, they like Cam Mitchell, but are they going to put Cam Mitchell at a disadvantage to start the year in his second season in the NFL? No. Correct. And I don't think – you know, remember, none of these guys play the full season. So if they're going for the gusto now, I didn't think that there was a chance that they were going to move on from him knowing that they need the depth.
He is more valuable to them. It's one of those – it happens often. He's far more valuable to them than the value he would return. So I wouldn't trade him. You know, it would take a big time offer for me to move on from him right now. And again, if Cam plays great this year, we can have, you know, it's a little bit more comfortable to have that conversation. But you can't base trading a guy like Greg based on one season for Cam Mitchell. You've got to see him do it again.
All right, you got anything more for Jason? I just got a distraction from Keith re-texting us, so I think that Jason's going to end up being right about something here.
Oh.
Oh. Yes. There you go.
What am I right about now?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I usually am, by the way, if you haven't noticed yet.
Right, about what? About trading Brad Hand? About Evan Mobley and his threes? Oh, wait, was I right? Yeah, I was the one right about that. Okay.
No, I was right.
Thanks for nothing.
All right, Jason, Donovan Mitchell or Deshaun Watson? What's the better deal?
Well, here's the thing. The pain from the Deshaun contract is basically over. The pain of the Donovan contract, now they can still trade him and they can recoup assets for him. But the pain of the Deshaun or the Donovan deal is yet to come. They've traded 5 years of control of their own draft. The picks plus the swaps. So we have to wait and see. Honestly, I actually thought the Browns came through the picks relatively unscathed. Like, I thought it was going to hurt a lot more than it did, I think, which is a testament to the front office. And we'll have to see if the Cavs can do the same thing, because the bill on the Donovan contract hasn't even come due, or on the Donovan trade has not come due.
All right, Jason, thank you very much for the time.
See you guys.
You want to do Mitch, please? You want to prove me wrong first? Let's do Mitch, please, first. And then I guess I'm going to get proven wrong. All right, here we go. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Ken. So today's clip
you really want to do this? Okay. Sounded thrilling.
This clip actually comes from this weekend after the NFL draft. It was actually one of the top receivers taken in the draft, second-round pick Keon Coleman, to the Buffalo Bills, who went viral for this little moment he had at the beginning of his draft. He was wearing this big yellow puffy coat during his opening press conference in Buffalo. Somebody asked where he got it from.
Like putty?
Basically, yeah. I remember that episode, yeah.
It was.
And it was in the same texture as the Gore-Tex one, but they asked him where he got his coat, and he had this funny response.
Got you a coat from here?
Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? You guess where I got this from, though. That's what I'm saying. You got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Tom Izzo.
Nah. Macy's. What you mean?
Tom Izzo.
They be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I'll take you there, personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one. I shop like my mama. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and they be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying?
You will need that in Buffalo.
It's always easier
they don't have a dome
to say than
no,
actually
don't.
Do it.
No, they don't.
Because we all know when to buy certain things, like wrapping paper. When's the best time to buy
now?
Wrapping paper. Right. But when do you buy it? You buy it in the winter when you need
it.
You
buy it 2 weeks after
some
Christmas.
That stuff ain't available. You try buying Christmas lights now. Buyer beware. There, you only get
some
bad strands.
True. That's right. True.
Yeah.
What, the stuff that's returned?
The time you really do, we're off Christmas and New Year, between Christmas and New Year's last year. Mm-hmm. I went to Home Depot like every day, about 3 boxes of lights. They were down like $6. I was like, yeah, I'm in. Every day. 3 different boxes of lights times a week. I mean, that's a lot of lights.
Yeah. I think you're addicted to lights, Ken.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
It sounds like you might OD on lights.
I'm addicted to value.
Unlike the Cavs.
I'm addicted to love.
Who succumbed to the lights. First it was New York
City. The lights are too bright.
And then it was Orlando.
They can't come over to my house for Christmas. They go, oh, no.
Ken's house is too bright.
Oh, gosh. We shrink. And
I mean, we're going to have Charlotte. Somehow, some way, we're going to be playing Charlotte next year.
And lights are too bright.
That's going to be too bright for us.
Well, that tough place to play, which is Charlotte. Oof. The ghost of Larry Johnson.
They're going to bring Grandmama out.
Muggsy.
To throw up opening tip-off.
Yeah. Del Curry.
All right, you want to make me look bad? Well, hey, by the way, nicely done, Mitch. That added to it. I thought it was either going to be that or Xavier Legette, which people
were
saying he sounded like Farmer Fran because he's from the South.
On a normal day, I would say, Mitch, that would have been a fail. But today's show's been too damn serious. Yeah. Because the Cavs have put us in a horrible place now with 2-2.
It's a no fun Monday.
Like, there is a, if you go to certain places, like, I don't know how much time you've spent in South Carolina. Like, I have visited family down there, and there are people they got to point to things. You are not going to understand
down there,
them.
Clemson girl?
Yeah. Yes.
Famed Clemson girl.
Well, I wouldn't say I've visited. I've had to.
Been in the vicinity.
Bailout's a word that I might use either way. Sorry.
I've been subpoenaed there.
There are people in certain parts of South Carolina and in the South where they just have to point to something. You are not going to understand them. And that's the way people were talking about Xavier Legette in his press conference after he was selected by Carolina over the last weekend. All right, so what is this? This is Jason and I? All right, fine. I'm going to hear myself be wrong. Damn it.
Oh, no, I don't have that.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you have?
Not that I know. I just want to know why you guys haven't talked about where Haley Van Lith has transferred to.
Oh, I thought we were going to get beaten up.
You guys have been this champion for...
She's going to TCU. What's the problem with Haley Van Lith? I'm supposed to mention everyone.
You guys have been
this
champion for women's sports, and I haven't heard it.
It's been off my radar, admittedly.
It was on my radar.
Now, they did show Caitlin Clark.
I didn't know she was... I knew she was visiting. She was there during a... was there during the spring game, I think it was.
Now, Caitlin Clark, they showed her at the Pacers game.
No, baseball game. She was at the baseball game.
You better
Haley,
get it right.
I'm sorry. Haley Van Lith was at the TCU. Receipts. She was at the TCU baseball game, and there were a lot of people putting two and two together, and I didn't know she had transferred already until the weekend, but I didn't know if it would get brought up. We had a lot of Cavs. We had a lot of draft to talk about today. That's all. Go ahead, Tone. What were we going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, admittedly, it's been off my radar, but I'm gearing up because training camp is basically here already for the WNBA.
Well, when's the season start again?
The question is, I think in like 2 weeks, do I jump off the college basketball bandwagon and get to the WNBA now? I also think WNBA, this would be tough to do on the fly logistically. I think they're making a mistake. Playing all these games in Indiana. Caitlin Clark should be in every town like a circus act. She should be coming to Cleveland. She should be going to every city that has any kind of population that would come and watch her. Because I think they could sell out stadiums.
It's a bad idea.
I think they could sell out stadiums.
I still think it's a bad idea.
Well, hold on. They're already moving their games in some of the cities. They're moving them to the larger venues instead of the smaller ones. So, like, in Washington, they're playing in front of 4,000. Not anymore. They're going to the NBA facility where they've already sold out the game, like 18,000.
All right, let's go to the phones. Abner on West Boulevard.
Ken Carmen, what is going on, Ken Carmen? You get the signature Abner call. Let me tell you something, Ken Carmen. I went to the game, the Final Four game, and the championship game to watch Caitlin Clark, because you guys are on the topic, right? Yeah. I have never seen something like this, especially for a female athlete. The way she's contributing. I went to the practice, the open practice, Ken Carmen, and I kid you not, it was packed for the little girl to see her play. It was ridiculous. I've never seen something like that. And can I hit one more thing, Ken Carmen?
Go ahead.
Let me say this. Watson is horrible. Get him out of Cleveland. That contract is horrible. Why did we trade everything for him?
No.
I hate you, Watson.
No.
Your cheesesteak place is not good, Watson.
No.
Wait a second.
Oh.
You know what? I'm going to be happy to go out there and dine. I want to give it a try. Give anything a try.
Come on. You don't know that about the sandwiches. Come on. Ken in Brooklyn. Hello.
Hello. Hey, listen, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they have two bigs. They sent the Suns packing with Ishbia's dumb idea of putting a team together. And anyway, just because you got a lot of money, man, doesn't mean you know anything about basketball.
Ooh.
Okay?
We're going to send him this audio.
You traded for a guy you didn't need, and now you got no draft picks, you dummy. Anyways, if the Minnesota Timberwolves can play with two bigs, tell that clown that's going to be working at Crumbo next week.
Hey!
It's every time he calls.
What's with the restaurants,
Ken?
We
can't do that.
Stop! Okay. Stop! Let him in to have his investments in his cookies.
Yeah.
What's the matter with that?
Yeah, Tito's got a steak place now.
I don't think I've ever had a Crumbo cookie. I'm telling you, I will
either.
Open up a drive-thru. It will be Ken Carmen's drive-thru at some point.
You get booze? What?
Yeah, is it?
Yeah,
like
of course you can get booze as a drive-thru in Ohio. You think I'm going to open up a dry drive-thru? Be in business for a day. Can you get booze here? No. Why? Well, it's Ken Carmen's drive-thru. No, you're gonna own a drive-thru.
Costumes, booze, and more.
Are you think if I'm hosting a show by the time I own a drive-thru, if the drive-thru goes under, people are going to call me up and make fun of the drive-thru?
Yes. They'll be part of the coming in hot.
I will stand out in front with a sign.
How do you have a drive-thru that goes under in the state of Ohio, right? Unless I just don't want to confront the people stealing from me. Because you're definitely going to get people stealing from me.
That's a drive-thru. What are they doing? Just sticking their hands out?
No, I'm talking about the employees. You're definitely going to deal with that, right? I just assume.
They're in their cars.
That's one of the first things I did working at a bar was steal. One of the first things I did.
Yeah, you don't want to name names there. I never did.
The older guys put me up to it. The older guys put me up to it. They said, hey, here's $20. Take the cooler. You're the only one who has access to the cooler. Take it down. Act like you're putting ice. in the barrel, and then ice down the beer, take the beer off.
You're a crazy person.
Somebody bought two tickets to Edgefest 99 and a pair of Echo jeans with their first day earnings at a certain place.
All right. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. It's going to be a hell of a show. For Big Country. For Jeff. Oh, Jeff's not here. For Mackenzie, for Flumi, who tomorrow, we didn't get a chance today. She going to tell us, I'm not going to look it up, what short kings are.
Said shorts making a comeback.
The shorts?
Short.
Short kings.
Okay, short kings. I don't know what short kings are. I'm going to find out tomorrow with Flumi. She's going to tell us. For Mitch, Jeff, I know he's got the day off, but what the hell. For the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Hey,
sounds good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.